A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
Or I struggle most weeks to like get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Because like, I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Crawfish Cafe in the Heights. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Mapes in for Joe today. We are at Crawfish Cafe in the Heights, though. Fantastic food. Mapes still haven't put down that second shrimp taco.
I had a wing, you know. I had the boudin last break, so I was, you know. There's a lot of good options. I have to pace myself.
A great spot to always, of course, eat lunch, dinner. A great spot to have a drink. Great spot to watch Monday Night Football. Carbach Monday Night Football special. Bucket of six is $10. Long necks, $2. Giving out some free Carbach merch as well. They're going to be doing it throughout the football season. Today here in the Heights. They'll be in Shenandoah October 20th. Cypress on November 3rd. Pearland November 17th. We'll get to the Texans here in a little bit. Monday Night Football less than an hour away. Texans trying to avoid an 0-2 start. Slight favorite over Tampa Bay as well. But good, bad, ugly. Astros got a big one, too. You know, kind of getting lost in the spotlight a little bit. Astros and Rangers begin a three-game series. I guess it was a good weekend series. You won it. You took two of three. You do board a flight, though, losing your final game, which always puts a little bit of a poor taste in your mouth. And then Seattle swept. And the Rangers took two or three from the Mets, so you didn't really gain advantage anywhere. But they won the series. We start with the good. What good did you have?
I had Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown, just another Hunter Brown-like start that you expect. And, I mean, really cruising until the very end. And he gives up, I think, one extra run was charged to him because De Los Santos came in and gave up a single. But I think getting the Hunter Brown performance that you got, him also getting run support was huge for him to get a win, and for the Astros to get a win, scoring that much and having it not be such a like clinch, like you're just clinched the entire game.
Yeah,
that I mean leads me into another good. It's just like the offense came alive for the first two games of the series. That was also very nice to see.
Even yesterday, I felt like they had some good offensive approaches.
Yeah.
Like, they were hitting the ball hard.
It wasn't bad.
Track. Yeah. Like, it was better than the lifeless four-hit, one-run performances. It's just, you know, Fromber. We'll get to Fromber in a minute. It was just so poor.
Won't be in the good.
I think Hunter Brown's locking up top three in the Cy Young voting, which is big for the Astros because they'll get a draft pick for the whole PPI thing. The player promotion incentive, which, look, we know their minor league system needs. So that will
we'll
be helpful.
Yeah.
And you're going to get a qualifying offer pick for Fromber, although I think that one's going to be a fourth-rounder because pretty sure the Astros are in the luxury tax. There's been some conflicting reports on that. Like, Fangraphs has them under the luxury tax, but they also have players who played on the team missing on their payroll calculator or whatever. And, like, the other sites have them over the luxury tax. So I'm pretty sure they're over. But that's a difference in Fromber leaving and getting a first and a fourth. If you're over the luxury tax, you get a fourth. If you're under the luxury tax, you get a first.
That's a pretty big – I mean, it's the MLB draft, so it's not the same as other drafts, but that's still a bit – I would rather have the, whatever, 30-something or 40th because it's the comp pick at the end of the round.
Yeah, the sandwich pick.
Would rather have that than 130.
The pushback would be, well, you got Correa. So that would be the – I'd rather have Correa in a fourth – as opposed to a first and no Correa, you know what I mean? So like, I'm glad that they went into the competitive balance tax, but there is some penalty. There is some punishment for that.
Yeah. If Correa is the one that put you over, then you, I don't know, grin and bear it. Not that's a little dramatic, but you accept it. Top three in Cy Young. That's going to be Scooble, Brown. Is it DeGrom who's coming?
DeGrom
to town?
Will be in the mix. I think Crochet will be in the mix.
Oh yeah, Crochet.
Now, Eovaldi would have been if he would have pitched long enough, but he got hurt.
So yeah, like Eovaldi got hurt. Scooble got pulled, but it looks like he's okay.
Whenever you saw that news, were you hoping that he needed Tommy John?
Scooble?
Yeah.
I think I saw that it was like his side or something. I was still thinking like oblique, or you know, I was still like, oh, okay, maybe he misses a little time, but no, it looks like he'll be healthy.
The Zach Cole thing was pretty fun to watch. Homer on his first pitch he sees. Like, first ever pitch he sees as a big leaguer. Hits it out of the ballpark. He sets a franchise record for the most RBIs in a debut. Yep. Like, oh, okay. That's cool to see. Colton Gordon eating four innings to get a save in Friday's blowout. I know his numbers weren't good, but I like guys who can go out there and do a job.
Yeah.
Like, you're up big. Go eat the rest of the game. He did that. I respect that. I like that.
That was a big team performance. Yeah. Like, that was like you took one for the team in the realest sense.
Like, your ERA is going to take a hit, but you get a save and you save the bullpen for the team. Like, I respect that kind of job. Like, he did a job. Is he a good pitcher? No. Do I want to see a whole lot of them? No. But if you're up by 9 runs and you can eat the final 12 outs to save the rest of the bullpen while you're in a pennant race, like, thank you. Appreciate that, Colton Gordon. Yiner's coming on and Cam Smith coming on now.
Yeah, that Cam Smith home run was a nice sight to see. Not just that he hit a home run and he pulled one, that he pulled it 450.
He hit it far.
That's the aircraft carrier that we were promised in spring training. And yeah, whatever signs of life from anyone on this offense. Yeah, like, I would like for anyone to start a hot streak right now. Like you said, Yiner has been, I think, under the radar, been pretty good for a good while now.
He has, really since like the start of summer. He had a little bit of a lull in August where his numbers were a bit down, but like in September, it's like skyrocketing again. It's gotten to the point, because Cam's actually put together a pretty strong September. Like, he had a dreadful July and August, really, really bad. I wanted him to send them down so they can get an extra year of club control. They didn't do that, whatever. But it's gotten to the point where he's performing well over the last couple of weeks, that, and Sanchez has been really bad, that I'm not, I think that I would lose the platoon. I think that I'm done with the, like, I want to see if the Cam Smith revival is real, and I would like to see him get some starts against some righties if Sanchez is going to continue to struggle.
Yeah, his homer yesterday was off a righty, if I'm not.
Yeah, 3-1 count. Yeah. And then he got pinch hit for later against a righty with Sanchez. Yeah. Like, they're going straight platoon, and I think Cam Smith is performing good right now, and Sanchez is struggling, that I think I'd rather go with the guy with form until I figure out he doesn't have form.
Yeah,
I would play Cam more.
Riding the slightly more hot hand in right field there. Yeah, and especially the difference in glove that you're getting with Jesus Sanchez, where once a week there's a blooper reel kind of play.
Sanchez is great at robbing home runs and then literally nothing else.
Everything else, I have as good of a chance of catching it that he does.
He's Dikembe Mutombo at the wall, and he's like Yordan Alvarez, and that's disrespectful to Yordan.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Pedro Serrano. Like, he's Pedro Serrano in right field. Unless he's robbing a home run, then he's Dikembe Mutombo and the greatest defender of all time.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
So
I mean,
weird.
Maybe that's something for if they. I mean, honestly, this is kind of a playoff type of run here. I was going to say, if they get to the playoffs, that's something where it's like, I need a defensive replacement for Jesus Sanchez in the seventh inning of every playoff game that you're winning. And maybe not the ones that you're winning if those platoons are going to be that close, the splits are going to be that close. But I think for my own mental well-being, I like Cam Smith better in right field.
Yeah, I do too. Good, bad, and ugly texture. Josh Seabrook, Fromber having a pitch fit. That was one of my big bads, is that Framber Valdez is costing himself so much money, and I think that he knows it, and I think it's leading to him unraveling.
I think that's fair. I had him as the ugly.
Okay, yeah.
I don't
either way
really know the difference between bad and ugly. Okay, good.
They're both the same.
Yeah, it felt uglier that I had it as Framber / the potential for an Astros deep run because of how Framber's pitching.
Yeah.
And Framber's next contract. Fromber's agent is looking ugly right now. He's still going to make a lot of money, but the amount of a lot of money, I think, has gone down basically with every start that he's made since the trade deadline.
Like, last 6 to 8 starts for sure. Yeah. I thought at the start of the year he would flirt with $200 million, and he was pitching really well.
Like, I thought he was going to get over.
June. Yeah. I was like, okay, he's going to go over $200 million. And now I'm like wondering if he's going to get $150. Like,
okay.
He's losing a lot of money.
Yes, especially not just in performance, but I really think that the mix-up with Salazar, the post-game clubhouse comments, like, I do think
he got screwed by the interpreter there.
I think that's going to – maybe. I don't know.
Hey, crazy!
I'll leave that to you. But I think that the – I think it's rubbing a lot of people the wrong way. And
sure.
He's a guy who cannot afford to have, like, one less suitor, one less – like, you know, he can't have the Mets be out on him because
right. The
Mets, at the very least, would bid up whoever eventually signs him.
He, for his sake, he does not need to go to New York. Like, he would have
he would also, yes,
in
fall
New York.
It would be wet tissue paper.
Uh-huh. Like, I still think that the AAV is going to be high, but what team's going to want to guarantee him 7-8 years?
That's
why I think the total money is going to go down.
Could you, like, five?
I think he's cost himself $50 million. Like, that, like, total contract, and maybe he can recoup it later in his career.
Yeah.
Like, he signs a short-term 3-4-year deal. He still has time
yeah,
in his career for another contract. So he can recoup
10
it.
10 AAVs
but
at the
this
end.
Contract specifically, I think he's cost himself $50 million with how he's pitched in the last 2 months.
Would you do just, you know, hypothetical team that needs a starter? 5 for $160?
I'm out. Well, you're talking to the wrong guy because I generally don't like signing free agents to big money.
Yeah.
I generally don't like signing pitchers to big money because
yes,
they get hurt.
Agreed.
And I generally don't like signing players in their 30s to big money.
Yeah.
So, like, I already have all of
that's
those
triple crown
built-in
right
parameters where, uh-huh. like, I'm not the guy to ask if I would go that high with Fromber because I wouldn't do that if he wasn't having a meltdown.
I think that's one where – I'll just answer my own question. I think that's one where where I think because I've seen it up close and personal with the meltdowns that I'm like, I can't do this. But maybe if you're a different team, that's where, like, the cross-up thing, like, really cost him because it became a national talking point
yeah.
of this guy could do this to his catcher. And people be like, I think he did that on purpose.
Whether it was intentional or not,
yeah.
the perception is reality and everybody
it
thinks it.
It looked on purpose.
Yeah. No, it's he's
because I know
so
you're
much.
the head of it was actually
no I do think it was I do think it was a cross up
yeah,
I do I think
yeah.
Fromber was working too fast and never got the sign until it was too late, and you can act, there's actually evidence to that. People don't want to hear it because it's better to be like, oh, he did it on purpose.
Yep,
which is fine.
Agreed.
Like, I've moved on.
I'm in camp number two on that one.
Which I've moved on. It's fine. Like, you can have that thought. I have mine.
If he had a couple more good starts, maybe
okay.
I'd be on your side.
Do you have any other good bads that we need to hit before we go to break?
Yeah, I mean, the Altuve's foot.
He's back today, though.
Okay.
He is back
okay.
in the lineup today.
I knew that we were going to get an update by the time the show came on, so I was just monitoring that as a bad. But that, in the moment, got me a little, like, I don't know. And they made a point to show him in the dugout and have Blummer be like, well, he's still hanging out there with the guys? That's a good idea. And I'm like, I don't know. I've seen this movie before with this Astros training staff where that means
sure.
nothing to me.
You know what I wonder, though, is I wonder if he's been dealing with this. And that's why he's been –
that could
look,
be
I know
it.
That he's been DHing more because Jordan wasn't around. But he's still DHing more than Jordan since Jordan has come back.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if this has been an ailment that – and his numbers have gone down. Like, I wonder if this has been something he's been dealing with that they've kind of been
yeah.
covering up.
Do we know when he – I'm looking up. But do we know when he got pulled?
Yeah, it was pretty early in the game. Like,
okay.
Third, fourth inning. Yeah, it was pretty early Saturday. And, like, they were winning, but it was only 6-0, and it was early. So it's like,
yeah,
you
yeah it wasn't
that
quite. That's what I was wondering. It was, yeah, it was the bottom of the third. They're up 6-0, but Urias comes in. Yeah.
Which was the third.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the third?
Yeah, it was the bottom of the third. Yeah, after a single to right for Altuve. So, yeah, he might have heard it eventually scoring, might have heard it on the base paths there.
Yeah.
My 6-0 is enough benefit of the doubt of, like, you can pull
it's in play.
Them. Yeah.
It's in play. No, I thought the same thing. It's in play. My theory, though, is that he's been dealing with an injury and they haven't told us. And I think he's been dealing with this one. Because he's been DHing way more, even with Jordan back.
Yeah.
He's been playing less left field, which less running in left field than second. His numbers have dipped. Like, it's just a theory.
That's enough circumstantial evidence
yeah,
that I can.
I think so.
I can buy into that.
Yeah. Israel says Cam has a 1.9 WAR, sixth on the team in hits, on base of .315, and no ERA. He says,
"Beat that, Otani."
He meant to say no errors, but
oh.
he spelled it ERA. So no ERA for Cam Smith. Chaz McCormick has an ERA though. Israel.
He does. Six.
All right. 713-780-3776. Texans, Buccaneers, Monday Night Football tonight. How much do you fear Tampa Bay? How much do you fear Baker Mayfield. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe broadcasting live. Crawfish Cafe in the Heights on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I got a pair of games today, and you already know what app I'm on today. I'm on that Underdog app for both of these games. Football is here. Football is wonderful. We're in the thick of football season already, and the place to make picks and win money all season long is Underdog. You already know that. Playing on Underdog is fantastic. It is easy. Lamont's been flexing all of the winnings he has, and if Lamont can win, you can win too. Pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, yards, interceptions, receptions. I have a couple of those tonight, and more. Also new to Underdog, you can pick teams now. That's right. You can pick whether or not your team will win or lose. Get your picks right. You can win up to 5,000 times your cash, and you can play with as little as $1. Here are my picks tonight for Texans Buccaneers. You think I know ball? All right, well, maybe you'll make these picks too. You think I don't know ball and I'm a casual? How about you go against these picks and make your own picks? But here's what I like tonight. Texans, they'll move the ball. Will they get into the end zone? I don't think so. Kyahmi Fairbairn, higher than 1.5 field goal. I think the Texans are going to throw the ball a lot to Nico Collins. I think they're going to force feed us Nico Collins for better or worse. That seems better. But how about higher 5.5 receptions for Nico Collins? Buccaneers on the other side of Mike Egbuka, higher than 4.5 receptions. So Fairbairn higher than 1.5 field goal. Nico higher than 5.5 receptions. And Mike Egbuka higher than 4.5 receptions. So much to play, so much fun to be had, so much money to win. Check out the Texans-Bucks game. Check out the Chargers-Raiders. There's something for you. And also with Underdog, you have the originals. You have the drafts. You have the ladders. You can start a streak and win on that streak. Download the app right now and sign up with promo code KILLERB to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code KILLERB, K-I-L-L-E-R-B. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog, make picks, win money.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Crawfish Cafe in the Heights. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
No Joe George today. Mapes is in for Joe. They'll be back tomorrow. Him and Brian. Ryan doing a fantastic job as well. So are the fine people here at Crawfish Cafe. Food here is terrific. It is super. Carbach with the drinks, bucket of six, $10, long neck cold beer. I never broke my heart. Then we're going to do this at every single Crawfish Cafe throughout the year. Today, Heights, September 15th, of course, Shenandoah Woodland area, October 20th, Cypress, November 3rd, Pearland, November 17th. So this is your spot. This is your spot, Crawfish Cafe in the Heights, right on Shepherd. Get your beer specials for the Monday Night Football special and watch some football, about a little over 30 minutes away from that. We'll talk about that here in a bit, but let's go out to the HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. Keith, you're in with the Jays. And Sean, what's up?
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on. Now Yusuf here, and Sean, this late in the day, he should be playing video games right now. My question is, 12 games left for the Astros. What do you think their record will be in each series, and what do they have to finish at to make the playoffs? Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, Keith. The I don't love the Astros' schedule relative to these other teams, quite frankly.
I don't know if that's a – I feel the same way. I don't know if that's a lack of belief in the Astros, where it's like I'm not sure what the good stretch I'd want, but this I don't think is it.
The Athletic had the toughest schedules the rest of the way for every playoff hopeful, and the tough in the division, Mariners, Astros, Rangers, the toughest strength of schedule winning percentage wise is actually Seattle, but Seattle also plays three games against the Rockies, so it's like one how
yeah two, what's their other
they have the, they've closed with the Dodgers
Oh, okay.
They have Kansas City as one. I forget who the other one is. Maybe like the.
Do they play? They played. I mean, they played the Astros.
Oh, that's it. That's it. Kansas City, Houston, Colorado, Dodgers.
Okay, so that's three. That's three. At least decent teams. And then
the Rangers have the easiest, and then the Astros are in the middle. The Rangers, of course, start a three-game series tonight with the Stros. Then they go home for Miami. They go home for Minnesota, and they're at Cleveland.
That is an easy schedule.
The hope is that Cleveland's in the race still
for
that final series.
For,
and then with the Seattle thing, you're hoping that the Dodgers have something to play for, which right now they do, but a lot can change over the next nine games.
Yeah, that's one where do the Dodgers play the Padres, and could we get some separation in the NL West there? And yeah, so it really is. It's a double-edged sword where the Astros just so much have their destiny in their own hands. It's also, I don't think I trust them with their destiny in their own hands. Like, I am not feeling good, especially you look at the starting pitching matchups that you're going to be rolling with in the Texas series. Tonight is your best chance, in my opinion, because it's Jason Alexander on the hill versus, is it Jack Leiter?
Yeah,
Jack Leiter. And then you have...
He's been pretty good, though. And he's had good starts against you.
Yes,
and
but
you also wonder if like Costanza's summer is going to end.
I need.
It feels like it's coming.
I need two more starts, Costanza. I need two more.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the series you're looking at Javier versus Merrill Kelly, and then DeGrom versus TBD.
TBD's having a good year.
Hasn't given up a run yet.
Having a good year. I haven't looked at like predicting this. Like the Astros, this is the big week, right? You play your two.
Yes.
Contenders or your two rival contenders both this week. Now they're both at home, which should be good, but the Astros have been awful at home
weird,
the last two months.
I at the very least would rather be playing in Arlington than Daikin.
Maybe so. Maybe I don't necessarily disagree. T-Mobile, no.
Yeah, T-Mobile, I want them at.
And then they close at Sacramento and at the Angels, which it's like, okay, you should take care of business there, but they give you trouble.
Yes,
those teams.
And Sacramento is such a weird spot because it's going to be such a sleepy environment for these games.
Yeah.
It's going to be so dead. So, like, I actually am worried about, like...
Both spots, really, but Sacramento more so.
Yes, because it's minor league park and all that. But I'm, like, it's just so weird that I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the most critical that they win the series against Texas because of the lead. Like, you could... The lead's currently two. So if you take just one game, you still lead the division by a game. Rangers already had the tiebreaker, and then the Seattle thing's interesting because
you still lead the Rangers by a game.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then
you
the Mariners
the
will
division.
Be unknown. I meant the Rangers.
Yeah,
I meant playoff spot. And then the Mariners would be unknown because they have their own series.
Yeah.
But the Mariners series is interesting because if you win that series, you take the tiebreaker. So
yeah.
There's probably I don't know whether there's more at stake.
Well, you can get the tiebreaker and sweep Texas, but I
right
yeah,
but not in a scenario where you only win one.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
If you sweep Texas, I mean it's over.
Yeah, no, that's why
you're in the playoffs.
That's why Texas to me is the more important series, just because it sets the basement on how bad this can get.
I would agree.
You can you control the destiny there the most because you're ahead two games. You can really put an arm's length between you and the Rangers. I mean, two out of three even would put you at a good spot.
I feel like the last six games you must go 4-2. I feel like you must go 4-2 at Athletics, at Angels. And I feel like this week you have to go at least 3-3. I think bare minimum you could get in at 7-4. Well, it depends on who you're playing. It depends on who you're playing.
I think
worst case scenario where you still can survive is 3-3. I don't think that you have to have a winning week in order to still make the playoffs. I think worst case scenario, 3-3 this week, 4-2 next week can get you in. Worst case scenario.
I think as worst case scenario, you're right, because the idea of them going 3-3, like that is scary to me. Of like, I don't like the spot that they're in.
No, it'd be
scary. They're not dead. Like they don't have dirt on them yet. So I think that is a good number of like. 3-3, but then you really have to get it the next six games. I would like a 4-2. That would be.
Does that get
really
you in?
Sick.
You think 3-3 this week? Whatever.
3-3.
However you get it done. 3-3. 4-2 next week. Does that get you in?
It does depend on the three.
I think it's like 60-40.
Yes. If it's sweep the Rangers, get swept by the Mariners, you're in a good spot.
Yeah.
If it's split like 2-1, 1-2. I think you're right. I think you're on it. That's bare minimum.
Bare minimum.
A good, like, a fine spot to be in.
And look, I don't think it's a slam dunk you get in 3-3, 4-2, but I think it's a 60-40.
You're treading water. I mean, it's, yeah. I mean, you split. It's the definition of treading water.
Yeah, it's a big week. It's a massive week. 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Israel, you're on with Mapes and Branham. What's up?
What up? Hey, I know y'all bred off a man, Killer Cam Stack, but for him to go to right field and never play and no errors, I know I put ERA or whatever, but for him to have no errors, it's phenomenal. That's phenomenal. Yeah. His 1.9 WAR, that's phenomenal for a rookie. That he didn't go in the minors, you know, like Myers and the rest of them guys. But, you know, he went straight to the league. His sits on the team and hits. But all the time he fell out, ain't no way he's supposed to be. He wanted to go straight. Ain't no way. When you're producing, I don't care which. You can't put him down like that. So at 240, even at 240, that's still decent. And it's not the season not over. He won't hit. You know, I predicted like 250. But, you know, back, you know, so Cam, he having a great year. I don't care what nobody says. But with the Texas tonight, let's go, baby. And I'm looking for them on Chubb. Do your thing, Chubb. You know what I'm saying? Pierce, you got y'all talking about? The first it was Pierce and this guy going to do this, a rookie. Watch my boy Chubb tonight. All right, y'all.
See you, Israel. No, Cam's had a phenomenal rookie year. I agree.
Yeah, I think we've kind of lost track. I mean, it's obvious just because how the series or season's gone, where you focus more on the team. And, like, we were doing a lot of Cam Smith updates up until, like, July, and then kind of – pennant race took over from there. But I think, like, sitting back, you know, all but 12 games done of his rookie year, I think he's exceeded, like, the expectations that you can have, partially because of the zero ERA or errors that he's got.
I mean,
that he's learning. I know, like, actually errors.
Outfielders making errors doesn't happen very often.
But in the general, how good he is in at defense in right field.
No, he's a good defender.
Yes.
Yeah,
he's a good defender. Him being a plus defender out there is good.
No, in totality, he's had a good rookie year. There's no argument to that. He's had lulls. He's had ups and downs, yeah. as rookies do. But, no, I agree with Israel that in totality, he's had a good rookie season. I'm clamoring for him to actually play more right now over Sanchez because he's been a little bit better. Lately.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into some of the Tampa stuff. How much do you fear Tampa? What unit has to play well in order for the Texans to win? And what are we watching closely tonight? Texans Buccaneers. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Mapes in for Joe, Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from Crawfish Cafe on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Crawfish Cafe in the Heights, it's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Joe's out today. Mapes in for Joe. Brian out today. It's his birthday. So Rhino's been doing a great job for us back at the station. 713-780-3776. Broadcasting live, of course, from Crawfish Cafe. There's a spot to watch your football. Monday Night Football Special. Carbog, a bucket of six beers for $10. Long necks, $2. The food here is terrific. We were able to take part. A little bit of that fare, and it was very, very good. One player or unit you think the Texans will win or lose because of. Real quick, offensive line configuration. This from Cody's Toots. He tweeted this out a little bit ago. Says that Ursary is warming up at left tackle, Lakin Tomlinson at left guard, Patterson at center, Ed Ingram at right guard, and they're bumping Titus out to right tackle. That's the ones that are going through warm-ups. So Cam Robinson, who was your best tackle last week.
Yes.
Ursary out of position. Benched your $12 million tackle. Benched, even though he was your best tackle last week. You cool with that?
I'm cool with this because it was the configuration that they had settled upon in training camp. And I want you to have some conviction in your prior evaluation and not get so, I don't know, skittish off of it based off of one game.
Yeah, I think I would have went with the same offensive line one more week to get finality on that offensive line. we're like, okay, let's
go back to week one's offensive line.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like Ingram's back. Okay, cool.
Because
like,
he's not so good that you have to start him.
Like, it's it's Ed Ingram.
Yeah.
Like, this is, it's not Quentin Nelson, you know?
Yeah.
It's not, it's Ed Ingram. I can wait one more week on Ed Ingram. So I would have went the same offensive line one more week to get finality and closure on that offensive line where it's like, okay, it's still not good together. And even if you make the move at halftime, okay, I have my answer.
Yeah.
Maybe one more half, have my answer. But if they perform well, it's like, okay, maybe that is our best offensive line. I would have went at least another half, one more game with that offensive line. I don't love that Cam Robinson was your best performing lineman last week, and he's the one benched. Like, that feels wrong to me. Like, you're benching your best one last week. Not that they performed well. But of the bunch, he was the best.
He performed the best.
And they're benching him. Like, I don't love that. I get that Ursary was playing out of position. I get that Ursary is your franchise left tackle going forward. But I would have went one more week with it, I think.
Yeah.
One more week.
I just think that if, you know, you came to that decision that Ursary was going to be your left tackle.
Yeah.
And, franchise left tackle, if all things go well, I'm not moving off of that based off of one game where his PFF grade was low.
That's fair. That's fair. All right, one position, one unit, one player where tonight's game will be won or lost for you.
I'm going to go for the Texans. I'll go edge rushers. I'll go the front four. I'll go with, you need to make the Tampa Bay offensive line, who's without Tristan Wirfs this game. You need to make him look like your offensive line. I think that's what you need to do. You need to abuse whatever backup right tackle that they're going to be trotting out there. And so I think it's Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. If they go out there and have real game-changing performances, I think we're looking at a Texans win.
Yeah, they're without Gedeky, too, so they're without both of their tackles.
Yeah, that's right. They're down the other tackle, too.
I think that they can take a lot of advantage there.
I think Charlie Heck might be one of the starters.
I think we had a guest on last week, and they're like, yeah, they're trying to do whatever's possible not to play him. Like, they're moving guards around to not play Charlie Heck.
He's a Texans cast-off. I bet they're not trying to play him.
It's pretty funny, where it's like, no, we're going to do whatever we possibly can to not play that guy. So that's pretty funny. But no, I think that's a good call, because they're capable of doing that.
Yeah.
Baker's scrambling ability, that's something obviously you have to be mindful of. Yep. They will be. But sometimes you can get a little bit in trouble if you're too over-aggressive trying to get to the quarterback, because he's pretty shifty.
If you give him yards, he'll pick him up.
Yeah, I like Baker. I think Baker's good. We got into a big argument last week, Baker or Stroud. I rather have Stroud quarterbacking my real football team. I'd rather have Baker on my fantasy team. But if I'm starting a team tomorrow, would I take Stroud or Baker? I would take Stroud. Where do you land on that?
I'd take Stroud, but it's closer than I think both sides think. I think if you're a Stroud person, it's close. He's closer to Mayfield than you think. And if you're a Mayfield person, I think it's closer to Stroud than you'd think.
I would agree with that. I think it's a good way of putting that. To me, it's going to be the offensive line until it's not the offensive line. Like, until the offensive line proves that they're capable, I'm always going to think that the Houston Texans are going to win or lose based on the production of their offensive line. And then it magnifies it, too, because this is the new-look offensive line. Like, this is obviously the first time we've seen this five together because Ed Ingram is back. So until that is fixed, that's always going to be my answer. But I was actually going to mention who's returning kicks, because I thought Damian Pierce was going to get benched today, like start of the day, because he looked awful fielding kicks.
Yeah.
And then they literally made him a healthy inactive. So, like, don't have to worry about that.
He's not returning anything.
But I do wonder who it is in that spot, who's returning kicks. Also, the wide receiver usage is interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because last week, Justin Watson literally played more snaps than both your second-round rookie, Jaden Higgins, and your third-round rookie, Jalen Noll. I don't think that's the best thing.
No.
So I'm curious to see what that snap rotation looks like for the receivers. And then Nico. Like, Nico didn't have a great statistical game last week. Do they throw him the ball 15 times?
Yeah, that's one where, I mean, you have said the same thing, though, with the Eagles and A.J. Brown. And they threw it to him more. But it still wasn't some game-breaking performance from A.J. Brown. So just because you're making the effort to get on the ball doesn't mean you're actually going to be able to get the ball to him and move the ball. And Tampa has a good defense. That's why, to me, this is another very interesting test. It's a lot like the Rams game, where it's just like you're going to have a real test against not just the wide receivers, but the offensive line as well.
Like,
I feel like you're really going to learn something about how you feel about both those units.
Vita Vea is a freak.
They're not going to be able to run the ball.
Which is interesting because, like, great point. Because I think Chubb is still capable of running the football in 2025.
Agreed.
But inside the tackles. And
yes.
Vita Vea makes it very difficult to run the football inside the tackles. Yeah. So I'm actually with you. I don't think Chubb has a very big statistical. I think they'll force feed him. I think he'll touch it 18 times.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to have trouble picking up, like, 65 yards. Hope I'm wrong on that one. But we'll see. If they win tonight, what are we saying tomorrow? If they lose tonight, what are we saying tomorrow?
I think if they lose, it's a big, not all the way panic time, but it's pretty close to panic time because I imagine that the way they lose, it's pretty ugly along that offensive line again. And you'll be two games back with the Colts, who we both are, or at least I'm begrudgingly thinking more of. You're just thinking more of them. So I think 0-2. It's going to be pretty ugly on Tuesday.
See, I think, to me, it's in the division. If they win, it's all is right in the AFC South. All is right in the world.
Yes.
The Texans are who we thought they
were.
They're
immediately
AFC
the favorites
South
again,
champion.
Yes.
If they lose, they're staring a two-game deficit down the bullet 2 weeks into the season. I think the conversation's about the division. They win, everything's good. They lose, can we imagine a scenario where the Houston Texans are not the AFC South champions?
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I mean, last week the tenor of the conversation was pretty people were pretty worried about the offensive output.
Oh, yeah.
I think again, if they lose, they're not going to lose a shootout. I don't think they're going to lose a shootout.
Which is interesting because last time they played,
it was the most shootout a shootout can get.
It was a shootout.
But a lot of those pockets were very clean for CJ Stroud, and he was throwing to Tank Dell.
Yep.
Who's neither of whom I'm expecting to see a lot of tonight.
Ocho, pay attention to the middle of the field. In particular, Mr. Kate Otten, who caught 6 passes for 70 yards and 2 touchdowns versus Petrie. I do wonder if they try to put Petrie in bad matchups against, specifically Emeka Egbuka.
Yeah, Egbuka, I mean, we're talking about B-Mac and I were talking about this on Saturday. Nico Collins is the best skill position player in this game. Who's the next Texan that you're taking before Bucky Irving, Mike Evans, Egbuka, Kate Otten?
Oh, well,
Rashad White.
when
are we getting to Nick Chubb or Higgins or Noel?
That speaks to I don't love the skill on this team right now.
No.
Currently, like, it's not great. It's Nico, and that's it. Like,
they went from very receiver heavy last year to now.
It has to be Higgins and it has to be Noel. That's why I want them to play more so they can develop them. Because if those guys aren't 2, 3, 4 of your most important skill guys, your skill stinks.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
Yeah.
Outside of Nico, it stinks. So that's why I wonder if they try to up their reps, which, of course, leads to the upping of the development. 713-780-3776. Car wreck of the day when we come back. What is your car wreck of the day? Mapes in for Joe, Jeremy, and Joe from Crawfish Cafe in the Heights on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Are you looking to escape the rat race this weekend? Maybe your favorite team didn't play very well and you need to go away for a little bit. Well, you know where you can go away for a little bit? Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. And forget about all the woe in your life. The hustle and bustle of the job, traffic, whatever's causing you stress. Escape the city and enjoy the relaxing great outdoors at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. It's only 90 minutes from Houston. You can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks. We went on vacation over the summer. We drove all the way to Colorado. You don't have to worry about that at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. That's why that was my favorite summer vacation, Two Creeks Crossing Resort. We went early in the summer. Hike on their 92 acres of property. Kayak their water. Play some pickleball. Hang out by the pool with a drink. From the open green spaces, wildlife you don't see in the city, to the beautiful majestic trees and some of the best fishing in Texas, you can't beat it. Two Creeks Crossing Resort always looking to take care of their visitors. We were out there at the start of the summer. Food truck both nights we were out there. They had some live music. It was awesome. We stayed in the treehouse. Branham family loved it, from the glamping to the cabins. Pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for everybody. So book that stay now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
ESPN 97.5.
This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Crawfish Cafe in the Heights. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Thank you so much, Crawfish Cafe, for having us out. Fantastic. Mapes in for Joe. Joe missed out. Fantastic. Rico likes it. Rico just gave us his two thumbs up. If Rico likes it, everybody likes it. But very good. The wings here are fantastic. I like Boudin. Sucker for Boudin. They had the boiled, the vegetables, potatoes, corn, a little boiled egg. Mapes had his shrimp taco, which was delicious. Food here is fantastic. Carbach will be here as well. Giving out, well, not giving it out. You have to pay $10. But $10 for a bucket of six beers is a great deal.
Yep.
Long necks for $2. They're open all night. So you can get out here if you're in the area for the Texans game. Kickoff in less than 10 minutes. But lots of football tonight. So if you're looking for a spot to watch your football, this is the spot. Crawfish Cafe in the Heights, right on Shepherd. Food is great, drinks great as well. Let's get to our car wreck of the day, Mapes. What is your car wreck of the day?
My car wreck of the day is a viral video from the world of baseball. I saw Ken Rosenthal. Fox? Fox sideline reporter. Interviewing, I believe, a Brewers player. They do the thing where they're dumping either water or Gatorade, and Ken Rosenthal jumps out of the way, but he backs in to a cameraman who I guess also fell over or was just down on the ground shooting him, and he kind of trips over this cameraman and looks back and gives him just an absolute death glare of like, it was a little scary of like, wow, I didn't know Ken Rosenthal had that look in his bag.
Yeah.
And he looks back at him again and gives him like WTF hands. And so my car wreck is that cameraman for getting in Ken Rosenthal.
The cameraman? Not Ken Rosenthal?
Yeah, you got to know, get out of Big K-Dog's way.
Big K-Dog, all 5 foot two of them, 125 pounds.
Make room for the bow tie, too.
He was on his – he does like a little show, I guess.
I saw that
see his apology?
I saw that he addressed it. I didn't listen to it.
So whenever I saw this live, I thought it was the Fox cameraman. I thought it was the Fox cameraman. He's getting ready to interview Ken Rosenthal and the player. I thought it was his colleague. And, of course, you know, he backs into him, gives him the death stare, which is not a good look. And I thought whenever he did like the – ugh, like, come on. Like he did the little hand gesture, like, come on. I thought that he missed the shot. And I thought that Ken Rosenthal was mad at his own teammate's cameraman for missing the shot of, like, the celebration.
Yes.
Not that it's excusable.
That's how I read it.
Just what I read
well.
The situation at. Not excusable, but read the situation as. So I found out today it was the team's photographer. This guy was not employed by Fox. So it was a team photographer.
It was the Brewers?
Yeah, it's their content guy. It was the Brewers content guy that Ken Rosenthal's barreling through like he's Mike Allstott.
So why was he mad at him?
I don't know. Like, I guess for just, like, touching him. I guess he's such a diva that because he got brushed up by another dude who took the brunt of the blow, he was mad that he got touched. That was such a bad look.
It was
such a bad look by Ken Rosenthal.
An insanely bad look from Ken Rosenthal. And, I didn't know that it wasn't – I thought at the – and, again, it's not like making it better, but it's more understandable that it's his own guy.
Yeah, it's like, we missed the shot, darn it, you know?
Yeah, it's not like, what the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah.
it wasn't even his own guy.
That blew my mind.
Yeah, because he didn't.
It blew my mind.
Because Ken Rosenthal also, he didn't, like, fall down.
No.
He just kind of, like, lost his balance and then really kind of caught his balance on the guy's camera.
Yeah. Like, so what is he, like, in angst over? Like, if it was his own cameraman, he's in angst because he missed the shot. But if it's not his own guy, what could he be upset about?
No one makes me bleed my
own
blood.
You can't touch me.
Yeah.
I'm Ken Rosenthal.
Get your hands off me.
Within 3 feet of me.
Yeah.
Don't you know who I am?
I have no idea. It's
such a bad look.
Total diva move. I'll never look at him or those bow ties again.
Same.
The same way. Yeah.
Same. Joe Burrow's toe needs to be mentioned here. I love Joe Burrow. I'm his favorite radio host because we spent that time together in a Northern Kentucky elevator.
Forgot about that.
He's my favorite non-Houston Texan quarterback. So Joe Burrow's toe lands on the car wreck of the day. I'm going to miss Joe Burrow for those 3 months. Really not sure what I'm going to do.
Really? Just instead of watching Red Zone, you'll just pull up some – 2019 LSU highlights or something?
You know what? You're right. I'll be fine. He might not be, but I will be. All right, what's winning? I mean, it's Ken Rosenthal.
I think Ken Rosenthal
takes the take.
He had to apologize for it.
Yeah, he's not even his own guy. All right, does it for us. Thank you so much to Crawfish Cafe for having us out. Enjoy the hospitality. Thanks to Rhino for filling in for Brian. Thanks to Mapes for filling in with Joe. They'll be back tomorrow, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your day. ESPN National coming up. Good night, everybody.
ESPN 97.5.